Hey, how is everybody? Good, 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 good. If it's your first time here, today's a little bit different than what we typically do. Typically, what we do is we pick a book of the Bible, and I'll go over that a little bit later here, so I won't bore you with all the details of that right now, but I'll bore you with it later. We usually pick a book of the Bible. We go through chapter by chapter. We read it. We're at the tail end of Romans. We just did chapter 13. If you've never read chapter 13 of Romans, it makes me squirm. It's very uncomfortable. So if you were here last week when I taught that, it's a very, very difficult book of the Bible to teach, but we taught that. And we have a couple more chapters left of Romans, and then we're moving on to 1 Corinthians. Will be the next book of the Bible that we read. We take a break a couple of times a year. The only reason we take a break from just going chapter by chapter through the Bible is twice a year we do vision services, which is what you're at today. And if it's your first time here, I used to be afraid of these, but this is the reason why Josh, who's the guy who will inherit the church if I get hit by a truck, don't get any ideas, but if he's the guy that'll take the church if something happens to me. His first service was a vision service. We had no music. We had nothing. The church was very small at the time, about 60 people or so. I did a vision service, and I thought that he and his wife, they weren't even married at the time. I didn't think they'd ever come back. But the reason why they came back was this. This is us being extremely transparent. If you're here today and you've never been here and you've heard something about the church, whether that be good or bad or whatever, today should pretty much clear up every question you could possibly have about our church. So we're completely transparent. If you've never heard me teach, I'm a very jacked up individual. I cry a lot, so you'll probably see that. Not today, hopefully, but eventually if you come any length of time. But we take a break for this and we take a break for baptism lessons, and that's it. Besides those two things, we're constantly in the Word. But God tells us to be excellent. And in that video, it says where there's no vision, the people run wild and die. So today may not seem like an overtly spiritual lesson, but it is. How we handle our resources, how we handle our money, how we handle our time, our organization, our dedication, our excellence is all a way of us worshiping God. And that's a way of us reaching our community better. So I don't know why more churches don't do this. I don't know why more churches aren't more transparent with their funds and with what they do with their time and their energy, but we just want to be unbelievably clear with you guys. And so that's the hope of lessons like today. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to jump into this. Hopefully I won't bore you too much today. If you have any more questions after this, I probably won't be able to answer them today because we have two more services after this. The next class is not this Monday, but next Monday. It's usually about 50, 60 people and me. You can ask me questions. You can ask Josh questions. You can hang out with us as long as you want. And that should kind of answer everything you should have a question about. So I'm going to pray. We'll jump into this and we'll see what happens today. So if you'll bow your heads with me. Father, Lord, we love you. Got a couple of prayer requests before we jump into this lesson today. Father, Lord, keep your hand on Angela Parrish, Lord, who needs to go into labor. She's 9 days overdue. God, would you please keep your hand on her and keep her and her baby safe and keep Cameron wise and just bless that family, Lord. God, we pray for every single church in Murfreesboro today. If they proclaim that you are the Son of God and that you died and resurrected for us, we pray that you bless every single pastor in the city. We pray that you bless their congregations. We pray, Lord, that they see your vision, that they jump onto that, and that they grow and that they're healthy. God, we want to be on the same team and we want to work together in unison to advance your kingdom. So God, we pray that you bless those churches today, whether they be bigger or smaller than us, Lord. God, just keep your hand on me today as I teach. Help me, Lord, just to be wise in what I say and to be concise and to paint a clear picture of what you're trying to do through this church, God. We love you, Lord. We lift you up and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So before I get into this church in particular, let me tell you what the church is. And that sounds stupid. A lot of people, especially in the Southeast, think they know what the church is. Now, underline the word or the letter C, because the church with the capital C is different than the church with the lowercase c. Let me tell you what the church is with the capital C. The church is identified by two things in the Bible. The church is the bride of Christ, says that multiple times in Revelation, and we are also the body of God. We are the bride of Christ and the body of God. You couldn't be any closer. The church couldn't be any closer to who God is. We are an extension of God. The church is not a building. We meet in a building, but there's nothing inherently spiritual or magical or powerful about these bricks or any of the things we're doing in here. This is a neat building. We don't own this. We rent it. I'll get to that here in a little bit. We're a debt-free church, but there's nothing magical about this. What's magical or what's special or spiritual is that a bunch of people filled with the Holy Spirit come into this building. So the church is not a place. It is a group of broken individuals striving to know Jesus better. Are there hypocrites in our church? Yep, you'll find those. Are there gay people in our church? Yep, you'll find those too. Are there people who do not know the true pathway to get to God? Yes, you're going to find all kinds of individuals in this church. And every church should encompass every kind of people. We should kind of be the place to where anyone from any spiritual walk should be able to come in, hear the truth about Jesus Christ, and strive to know him better. That's what we're trying to do here. That is the church. As a good bride, we not only represent our husband, that's Jesus, we not only represent him in a positive manner, we are also to compliment him. So what he says, what he does, what he teaches us through the word, we are to add on to that. We're to compliment that, to exercise that. We are the visible representation of an invisible God. We are the ambassadors to planet Earth for Jesus. He has chosen the church as a vessel, an instrument, a group of people to go out and be him to the entire world. That's what we are called to do. So as a healthy bride, we compliment him. As a healthy body, we simply follow the direction of the brain. He is the control center. He knows what's going on. He tells the right arm to do this, the left arm to do that, the left leg to do this. We simply follow instruction as a healthy body. That's all we do. And this Bible has gone to great lengths to tell us what to do on planet Earth until he comes back. It is simply our job as a healthy body to do what the brain says. We put works to faith is essentially what we do. The Bible says this: he put everything under his feet and appointed him his head over everything. It's talking about Jesus Christ, and that's the church. He appointed Jesus Christ over the head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. We are an extension of him. We are the fullness of him. We are to represent him. We are very, very connected with Jesus Christ. That's what the church is. So this church in particular, and I will get into this more and more as I go throughout this lesson, this vision service. We will be 5 years old February 15th. That's when we started the church. February 15th of 2009 is when we started this church. We're a very Bible-driven church. We joke around about it. I get very uncomfortable when I'm asked to do a lesson to where I just can't read a chapter and break it down. This thing is our anchor. Every time I teach, if you come here, we're finishing up Romans, we're going into 1 Corinthians, which is a nutty book of the Bible, but that's fun. We like the nutty books of the Bible. Test everything I say by the word. And if I'm not in alignment with this, I'm wrong, and I'll admit that I'm wrong. So we try to take our opinion as much out of the equation as possible. So what's your opinion on gay marriage, Corey? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about that. What's your opinion on other religions or universalism? My opinion is irrelevant. Let me show you what Jesus Christ had to say about universalism. So this is our default thing that we always go to. We're very, very Bible-driven. I don't know if this means anything to you. We're a debt-free church. We owe no one anything. The Bible says not to be in debt to people, so we take that literally, and we are not in debt to anybody. We don't owe any banks any money. We don't even use credit cards, this church. We use debit cards. And the people that do our taxes hate that. They want us to use credit cards because it's easier for them to keep up with it, but it's something we just stand firm on. We are a debt-free church, and we're self-sustained. We have never taken a dime from any organization, period. Not saying that that's wrong. We chose to be 100% independent. So everything that happens in our city, everything that happens in this building, everything that is bought and paid for, we pay for it in cash. We don't get anything unless we can afford it. And you guys pay for all that. You pay all the salaries at this church. Everything that is done here is self-sustained, and it's done by the people in these walls. We are a very simple church. As you go through this lesson with me today, one thing that will stand out is this church is unbelievably simple. As the church gets bigger, and I'll get into that, you always gravitate towards chaos and you gravitate towards complexity, and we are constantly pulling that back in and keeping it very, very simple. Just to be upfront with you, for the sake of full disclosure, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You're not going to see a crazy tambourine lady running around speaking in tongues. We're not going to let that happen. But we believe in all the gifts, and tambourine is not one of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We have worship nights once a quarter or about three times a year. So once every trimester, I guess you would say. We have worship nights where that is very free and we allow those things to happen. If you've never been to one of our worship nights, they're amazing. It's like 3 hours of just worship and we clear out all the chairs. But we're a Spirit-filled church, okay? But we do it in alignment with 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. We do it in order, and we explain it, and we do it exactly the way Paul tells us to do it. We believe that the Bible is infallible. If your opinion contradicts this, you're wrong and this is right. If my opinion contradicts this, I'm wrong and this is right. The Bible is infallible. We have so much dependency on that book. A big thing about our church is we minor on minors, and we major on majors. What that means at this church, we will not argue with you about predestination. We just won't do it. It's not contingent on you going to heaven or going to hell, predestination. So if you want to talk about it, that's cool. It's a fun thing to talk about. We talked about it in chapter 8 and 9 of Romans. It was very difficult, but we talked about it a little bit. But we're not going to fight about that. We have people on this church leadership team. We have deacons that believe in predestination. We have deacons that don't. We don't fight about things like once saved, always saved. That's not in the Bible, that terminology. So we don't fight over things like that. We don't fight over what exactly the Trinity looks like or not. We believe in those things, but we don't fight over those details. We're going to major on the majors, the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross, rose on the third day, saved humanity. We're going to fight about those things. But we're not going to fight about little details that tend to divide churches and split churches. If you want to fight about predestination, there's good Presbyterian churches in town or something. I shouldn't have said that. Anyways, we minor on minors and we major on majors. So our role is an individual church. Let me go over that a little bit. What we do and kind of how our church does that. The Bible says this, because again, we're constantly plagiarizing the Bible. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember I'm with you always. People get offended by vision statements. We don't. Ours is painted on the wall over here. People get offended by vision statements. If you were to crack open the Bible and study the Gospel of Matthew, which we're going to do later on in this coming year, this is Jesus's three-point vision statement. Go out, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. That's his vision statement. This is what Jesus tells the church to go out and do. So again, we are going to mimic that. That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus also goes into how we are supposed to do it. This is what he says. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So you go out, you teach them, disciple them, baptize them. You love them with all your heart, soul, and mind. You love God like that, and you do the second thing, love your neighbor like that. So what we strive to do at this church is to not just focus on the soul, which, by the way, I believe everything we do is holistically pro-Jesus or anti-Jesus. So everything we do is either pro-Jesus or anti-Jesus. But most churches, they just focus on the red piece of that pie. They focus on teaching the word. They focus on worship. They focus on spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is fantastic. But there's two other pieces to that pie that Jesus tells us to do when we love our community. That is to not just help their soul, but to help their body, their physical needs. If there are starving people, we are called to feed them. It's going to be 9 degrees tomorrow, guys, as a high. So our church is going to get hotel rooms for some of the homeless individuals that stay at this church. Do we always do that? No, but it's going to be 9 degrees. I don't care what they've done to end up where they are. If they freeze to death, that is on the hands and feet of the churches for them to do something about that. That blood is on our hands. We're also to help people out mentally. At this church, we have three licensed. Two of them have PhDs. One has a master's degree, clinical counselors. Some of them work for free. Some of them don't work for free. But if they don't work for free, the church will step up and pay for people. If people have deep depression or deep anxiety or suicidal thoughts, we have people who are trained in Christian clinical counseling here at the church. In fact, we'll get into this a little bit later. We're building space for them over here that is discreet, and it's very convenient for people to come in and get counseling. But you have to focus on the whole thing. This is our vision. If we're to focus on the mind, body, and soul, if we're to focus on the entire spectrum, if God tells us to reach every single part of every single human to the best of our ability, this is how we've summed this up in our church's vision statement: to lead people to Christ through authentic worship, Authentic is a big word around here. Authentic community and authentic community service. Now, let me break that down a little bit. This is our vision. It's painted right here on the wall, and I'll get into more what that means. Something this church is that may be a little bit different from a church you've been to, or maybe you've never been to church before, but we're not an event-driven church. We're a process-driven church. Doesn't mean we don't have events. We do events here sometimes, but instead of you going to a two-day marriage seminar, we would rather plug you into a young married or older married or post-children, pre-children, whatever, life group for married couples and have you in that life group for life as opposed to trying to fix your marriage in 2 days. I'll just let you guys know, you can't fix a marriage in 2 days. Someone comes to me and they want an hour of my time for the week. Fix my problem. There is no problem that can be fixed in 1 hour. Especially one when a marriage is splintered. So instead of saying, hey, 2 days, marriage seminar, and then we're not going to touch your marriage for the next year, we're going to put you into a process to where your marriage is constantly being nurtured and taken care of, hopefully for the rest of your time at this church. We're a process-driven church, not an event-driven church. This is simply the process. The Sunday service into some kind of small group, into some kind of serving or leadership role. The first part of that is this, you're sitting in it, the worship service. You come in on Sundays, we do worship, our worship is awesome, we have an awesome team, they're very, very talented, it's very spirit-filled, it's very anointed worship, we do that. We do verse-by-verse study, that's me, a couple of times a year, possibly someone else. Josh is gonna do a couple of weeks in the summer over Proverbs, which is gonna be really, really neat. And we always take communion. The reason why we always take communion is every single service goes back to what Jesus did for us on the cross. Even a service like this, when we get done, we'll take communion, and it just reminds us every single time we get together that every single service, every time we talk and worship together, it's all about Jesus Christ. We get back to that foundation, the fact that he died on the cross for us. This first part of our vision is just simply the first step. For most people, this is where they come in and they can kind of test the waters, make sure we don't handle snakes. I can promise we don't. I'm terrified of snakes. But we don't do anything kooky or weird here. You can come in, you can test the waters, you can make sure it's safe, you can go check out the children's area, make sure that it's safe for your kids. You can come in and kind of be a fly on the wall. But we don't want you to stay in that position long. We want you to move into the next step of the process, which is authentic community. This church has grown exceptionally rapidly in the last 5 years. And as the church gets bigger, we have to get smaller via life groups. Dave, that was playing guitar over here to my left today, is in charge of all these life groups. That's different. We have, I don't know how many they have right now. They have a ton of life groups. They're multiplying. That's smaller groups that you can get involved with and do life with those people. We have single groups, we have married groups, we have addiction groups, we have all these different kind of groups going on. We have the Encounter, which is upstairs, that's middle school and high school. Corey, that did the announcements, is in charge of that. We have the Network group, which is our college ministry, which is very, very different. They meet once a month at Joe Zara Coffee Shop. They do a worship night and a short lesson, and then the other 3 weeks of the month, they break off and go into people's houses. That's how our college ministry works. We have about 200 college students at this church, and we're trying our best to plug them into small groups and get them connected. So we have these different kind of groups. We also believe that accountability is key. People always pick on churches like World Outreach. Man, you can get lost in there. You can get lost in a church of 900 too. You can be a fly in the wall and not be held accountable in a church like ours just as much as you can in a church that's 10,000. So the point is you get plugged into a small group, you're held accountable, you have people keeping an eye out. Not that we're spying on you or trying to make sure that you come every single Sunday, but if you need anything in your life, if you're going through a hard time, you need to be in a small group so we're aware of that. So you move from worship to community service. Now, this is a big trademark of our church. We take serving our community very, very seriously. In fact, right now as I'm speaking and you're sitting there, we have about 30 volunteers feeding about 100 people in the park right now that are homeless. We do that every single week. So as we're doing this service in this nice heated room, we have people out in the freezing cold. They take out heaters. They take out about 10 pounds of food, 10 pounds of meat, 20 dozen eggs. They cook all that and they serve those people every single week. That's our 5,000 ministry. It's a big deal to us. Do we have much of a return on that? No, we do not. But Jesus says to feed and clothe the poor. It's not, you don't have to research the Greek or Hebrew on that. You just go out and feed and clothe the poor. It's pretty simple. That's what we do. We do large monthly community service projects where you can bring your kids. This month, we're going to work on the building a little bit. When it gets warmer out, we go out to our communities and we rake their leaves and we mow their yards and we do things for these. We go to the Journey Home over here and we clean their clothes closet and clean up their property. We do different things for the neighborhoods around us. We have maintenance. That just means if your talent is doing, this building's 112 years old. Every time it rains, we find a new leak. So if you're talented in maintenance, we have people that do that. Everything you see here is built or designed or created by us. So we have a lot of talent in here that we like to utilize. Getting involved with hospitality. I have to brag on George and David back there that are here every single Sunday making coffee for the 9 o'clock service. You guys should high-five them sometime or give them a hug. And Jenny that's in charge of that hospitality team. We have about 40 people that all they do is make coffee, greet, serve, just do, you know, the lowest of the low type stuff. They just serve you guys. And we have a lot of people that do that, and they need more. Getting involved in student ministries. Helping them out, being a mentor, helping with Echo, that's our children's, different things like that. We have a thing called the bar ministry. That's not where we go out to bars. We hang out outside of the bars. But something we do on Friday nights, they did it this Friday, as cold as it was. They go set up on the square between a couple of the bars, and our church gives out hot dogs, coffee, and water, and we don't sit there and just preach at them or stand up with a big King James Bible and yell at them or anything. We don't do that. We're just trying to sober them up before they get in a car and drive home. And what they've done, we were talking at our leadership retreat this weekend, the taxi cab companies in town, we've created a relationship with them. So what the taxi cab companies do is they all park in front of our bar ministry stand. So what we do is, if you're too inebriated, there's a taxi right there. So we've created a relationship with all the taxi cab companies. Our goal with bar ministry is not just to proclaim Jesus, it's to make sure you get home alive. And because of that, we've had a lot of people come to this church, and a lot of them get baptized because we've just extended love to them and shown them that. We're starting prayer groups up. I'll get to this here in a second. A big goal of this church this year is just to create more of a culture of prayer. So we're going to have groups praying during service, coming in during service and praying throughout the week. We're going to have rooms over here eventually to where people can come in and pray, and we just want to create a culture of that. So some leadership. Let me go over this really fast. Really beautiful family. Let me show you this real quick. Okay. If you don't know, you don't have to clap for that. Good grief. This is obviously, that's me. That's my wife and my two girls. Sometimes I'm up here all the time, so you may know who I am and you may not know who Alicia, my wife, is. We've been married for 9.5 years now. We've been together 17. It took me a long time to propose. But my wife is a wonderful woman. She spoke at the Advent service. She hates being in front of crowds. She's over in the nursery right now, so she can't hear anything I'm saying. But she's over there. These are my two little girls. Some more leadership. We have deacons at this church. The reason why we have deacons at this church is we are not connected to any denomination. So to make sure I am held accountable, me, to make sure that I don't, and I'm just going to talk to you like adults, to make sure that I don't get addicted to porn or cheat on my wife or be frivolous with the money of this church, these four men hold me accountable. These four men have access to every single part of my life, and most of them really take advantage of that. And they'll ask me difficult questions, and they put me on the spot. But that's what I wanted them to do. I chose these men because they're reputable, good men that I trust. And they're looking out for my best interest, and they're looking out for your best interest. Gary and Carol Belk, they're sitting in the back. Kirk Garrett, he usually comes to the 11 o'clock. Dave, who is up here playing guitar, a new one for this year is Steve. Steve Jensen, he's the only one that's not married, and I'm not going to go into his life story. His wife passed away about 8 years ago, I think. And but all these men have healthy marriages. All of these men have, they're not just spotless, squeaky, clean people. They've all kind of been there. They've done that. They have life experience. They're good, godly, strong men. And if you can't get a hold of me, these are four men that I would totally trust to lead you spiritually. So these are good guys. Some more leadership. Josh and Jenny Brooker. Josh just walked in. He just pulled up and walked into the service right now. But I'm just joking. He was in the other side of the building. But Josh is the executive pastor. seriously, if anything were to ever happen to me, it just moves right on to him. He has a master's degree. He's a great teacher. He can step into this role and do just fine. That's kind of a bittersweet thing when you realize that the church really doesn't need you anymore. You know, so Josh could step into this role. He's got a wonderful wife. Corey and Callie Drake. Corey comes up here and does announcements in charge of Encounter. Patrick and Annie Black, if you have kids that come to this church, I can with all confidence say, if you don't like me and you don't like the worship, but you have kids, you'll stay at this church because they do an unbelievably phenomenal job on that half of the building. Patrick is amazing. His wife is amazing. They do a great job. Kyle and Rachel Elkins, he leads worship. He's in charge. He's got about 40 people on his worship team. He also leads worship for the youth, and he's developing a leader there. And he's doing college stuff too, and he's developing leaders there. But they've been on staff for a couple of months now. Amber, who's coming on staff full-time here, she does all the community service projects. She also does missions work. She created the 5,000 organization with a guy named Joey that comes to church here as well, which has done really, really well. They've fed about 10,000 people in the last 3 years, and they do a really, really good job with that. She's in charge of all that. Jenny Morrill, who does all the hospitality stuff. I don't know why she's married to Jeremy, Jenny and Jeremy, he's doing security. I shouldn't pick on him on the days when he's doing security, but they're a wonderful couple. They're in charge of all the hospitality. Sam is in charge of the team that makes the videos here. Kid is talented. He's 19 years old, and all of his team is about 19, 20 years old that make our videos. They're ridiculously talented, and he's a really, really good guy. Andrew Coleman, that picture freaks me out, but it's the best I could find. He's in charge of our college ministry, which is called The Network. He kind of created that, and he's been heading that up and leading that. A couple of new additions, Austin Kursavi, who's somewhere floating around the back there. He does all of our audio stuff, production stuff. He's kind of in charge of that. He recently got married. I got to do he and Gretchen's wedding. Great couple, very classy guy. He's a St. Louis Cardinals fan, so we got along instantly. Kirby Dudley, Kirby is going to come on and kind of be like an office manager for us. We're getting office space over here. If you've never met Kirby and Chris, they're extremely awesome people, but Kirby's going to come on and she's going to wear a couple of different hats and she's going to help me with my calendar, stuff like this. This is Josh Pierce's mugshot. Josh Pierce just cleans the building, but he does a really, really good job with it. He's got about 30,000 square foot that he single-handedly cleans every single week, and he does a really, really good job with it. Josh does that. Good guy. That's our leadership. Coming into the uncomfortable part of the service, here's our finances. Now, again, my least favorite thing to talk about in church is money. I hate talking about money in church, but it's a big part of it. And we want to be transparent. Not only do we want to be transparent, here's why it's important why you hear about boring money stuff. I am called to be a steward of your money. Now look, most of you, if you pay tithes, that's 10% of your income, if you pay tithes, that's probably the biggest expense you have besides your mortgage. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that before, but if my mortgage is $800 a month and I make $4,000 a month, man, that's a pretty big chunk of my income. So to know where your money is going, and I know that that's not why you tithe, but to be transparent, to let you know that your money is going towards good things, that it's advancing the kingdom of God, I need to be transparent and be a good steward with the finances. So therefore, we're very open about it. Our expenses are very, very modest for a church of almost 900. These are our expenses broke out. Our rent is $11,282. It used to be quite a bit cheaper than that, but it goes up $1,000 annually because that's the way we worked it out with them. And we're getting 5,000 more square foot over here. So it's jumping up $3,000 this year, which is a pretty good significant jump. That's our rent. Our utilities are not actually as bad as you would think in an inefficient building like this. It's about $2,000 a month for gas, water, and electric. That's how much it is. Our phones, that's for 5 phone lines, including the church one, it's $350 a month. All the combined salaries of 12 people per month is $23,200 for 12 people. So that's very modest. Our ministry cost, that means how much it costs to do children's, Encounter, 5,000, all these different things, is about $5,800 a month. Bookkeeping and office miscellaneous is about $10,050. The reason why that is as high as it is we pay a company to audit us and to do all of our taxes and make sure we're compliant and following the law. It's $600 a month to do that, which is expensive, but I would rather us do that and be a good example to our community that we're law-abiding, that we're following all the IRS codes, that we're following all of our payroll things correctly. They do all of our bookkeeping, and it's a third party. They don't come to church here, so they're not biased towards us. And I thought that was wise of us to do that. Insurance is $508. We also have internet, security, Vimeo, podcast. Vimeo is where you see our videos, and that stuff kind of gets expensive a little bit. It's a couple hundred bucks a month for us to put all of our videos out. But our videos from our church, I looked at it the other day, we've had about 150,000 different views of our services throughout the world. I was looking last week, we had 5 people in Russia watch our sermons, which is kind of neat. In a place where maybe there's not a lot of Christian churches, people are getting the gospel, even though we haven't pushed ourselves in Russia or China or different places in Germany. People are watching our services over there, and that's pretty neat. Our total expenses per month is about $44,700, about $45,000. That's how much it costs for this church to operate every single month. If you've never been to many churches, this is what most churches our size bring this in per week. We do not. But this is a very, very modest budget. So our expenses or our income is this. Our income is also modest. Our expenses are modest. Our income is modest. From January to August, we brought in about $34,000 a month, and we had about $52,000 in savings. We got together and we prayed about, we knew that God wanted us to do more, and that wasn't us take a bigger salary or anything, but we knew that we wanted to do more as a church. And Josh and I and our team got together and we said, God, send us the amount of money we need to do what you want us to do. Since we prayed that in about September, from September to December, the giving has gone up about $17,000 a month, which is good. It's about $51,000 a month right now is what we bring in. And our savings, even though we've gotten a much bigger space, we've only been in this building since I think March. Since we've gotten into this bigger, more expensive space, our savings is up to $75,000. So that doesn't sound like a lot when you talk about a church, but we are completely debt-free. So we're about $125,000 on the positive, and we owe no one anything. So I feel like that's pretty good. We're also completely self-sufficient. Like I said, we do everything here. We have no outside support or any of that. So you guys pay for all of that. I've already said this. We're a debt-free church. The reason why we're such a stickler for being a debt-free church is it changes the dynamics of every single lesson I teach if we owe $5 million to the bank. If I have in the back of my head that if we don't get a certain amount in this Sunday that, you know, I'm not going to be able to feed my kids this week, that changes the dynamics of what I want to talk about. So the only times I really want to talk about giving is on vision services or if it comes up in the book of the Bible that we happen to be speaking on. If it doesn't, I would rather dedicate our time to talking about Jesus than making you fill out pledge cards. I figured, are you guys on, you guys dig that, right? Okay, all right, okay, just making sure. We want to invest in his kingdom. What's neat about our church being debt-free, and I'm a Dave Ramsey guy, if you haven't picked up on that. The reason why I think being debt-free is so cool is, for instance, I was asked to speak at the Pregnancy Support Center's launch of their rebranding thing, and I got to close that out, and that was pretty neat. At the end of the night, our church wrote a check for $2,500. Boom, there's $2,500, which again, to some churches is not a big deal. They called and told me later that most churches 4 times our size have never given that much. Do you want to know why? Because they're in debt and they can't afford to. Because we're out of debt and we have a savings account. I believe in the Pregnancy Support Center and what they're doing. Our church can write a check and it doesn't hurt us. We don't have a ton of money, but we've budgeted out enough in our savings to where we can give to organizations like that. And we don't have to think about it too hard, if that makes any sense. So we want to invest in kingdom-minded things. And the only way to do that is to get out of debt. And that's what we've done. And so we can invest more into what's going on in the community around us. If you don't know what tithing is, hate talking about tithing. But it's biblical, and it's the right thing to do, and it's what God asks us to do. It's giving 10% of what you make to the cause and ministry of spreading the word. Our church actually tithes back to our community. In fact, we give about 15 to 20% back to our community every month. So if we bring in $51,000, at the very least, we give $5,100 back via community service projects or things that we do for our city. We tithe, and I think that's one of the reasons why this church has grown so rapidly. Is it a necessity to tithe? In the Old Testament, it was a law. You had to. It was like paying a tax. It was a law. In the New Testament, God kind of flips it on its ear a little bit. He talks about tithing in Matthew a little bit. But in the New Testament, because Jesus Christ kind of paid the ultimate sacrifice, we don't just owe God 10% of what we make. We kind of owe him everything. So I would challenge you, and I can say this, something about our church. At this church, I do not know who gives and who doesn't. If you tithe, I have no idea. If you don't tithe, I have no idea. That's between you and God. But I'll tell you this, if you faithfully give to Christ, he will faithfully be there for you all the time, and he will not let you down. It's always been consistent in my life, and we tithe back to our church from the paycheck we get. The key to this is, if God knows that we can give up money, we can pretty much give up anything. So be generous. That's what God's trying to teach us through tithing. Let me go over some goals real quick. Are you guys still with me, or am I just boring you to tears? Okay, everyone's still good. Okay, I even got claps on that. Awesome. some goals of 2014 that we really want to hit. This year was crazy. If you've been here this year, we moved from two small buildings right off the square to this building. We thought this would just be enough building for a long time. We're already out of space for the most part. We started 2013 with about 425 people. November's average was 830. That's crazy growth. We've grown 400 people this year, and that's nuts. We've done nothing different. We've just had a bigger facility. Because of the growth, though, growth is awesome. We've baptized a ton of people this year. That is awesome. It also creates a problem. Now we have all these people. Do we have the right structure set in place to teach all these people, to disciple all these people? We need more teachers. If you feel the call to work with children, if you're talented with children, we'll run a background check on you like we do with every worker at this church that works with kids, and we will put you in with Patrick, and he will let you lead kids and disciple kids. We have over 100 children that are over there between our two morning services. We have a lot of kids, and we do not have enough teachers. We need life group leaders. There's a process for that, and Dave goes over that at the mixer that's going on tomorrow night. If you're interested in being a life group leader or a network leader or an encounter leader, come to that mixer tomorrow. Find out the process. I can go ahead and tell you a little bit of the process. Is you get involved with a life group for X amount of time. Dave grooms you. He gives you teaching opportunities. I'll brag on Missy Lay if she's in the room. Like, Missy's been going to Dave's life group, gosh, probably for 2 years now. And that's her son. Been going to his life group for a long time. She's an excellent teacher. Starting when we get the new space over here, she's going to have her own life group. It's going to multiply and split. So there's a process. Get involved in that process and step up. We've been kind of beating around the idea of creating kind of a knock list of like mentors at our church. Just a bunch of men and women who've kind of lived life a little bit. They're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever, who are older, especially men. If you're interested in just mentoring men, we have, if you come to the 11, especially the 6 o'clock service at this church, we have this whole generation of young men who've never had dads. So if you're an older man and you just want to kind of take a young guy and just walk with him through life, buy him lunch, buy him coffee, teach him how to be a man, we'd be interested in talking with you. This generation coming up has been fatherless, and they need men who, I'm just talking little things. We do weddings at this church, and they'll show up to be at a wedding, and like they're wearing like jeans and a shirt that's like, you know, tucked in like this, and like their tie's crooked. You know, it's like, we just need older guys that like teach them how to like tie a tie. I know that sounds goofy, but just to be a man. So if you're interested in a mentorship program, talk to Josh or I. Let us know, and we'd like to get your information, and we'd like to get a cup of coffee with you and see what we can put together with that. Some other goals that we want to reach in 2014. We're expanding. When you walk out this way, there's this huge vacant area on that side. One day we will have all that, but not yet because we can't afford it. But we're going to get 5,000 square foot over there. That's about half the size of this room. We're going to get 5,000 square foot on this other side. That will give us three large life group rooms that can seat about 50. So instead of Dave doing his group in here, he can go and have a more intimate setting over there, and there's three rooms for that. We'll have offices, and we'll have counseling rooms for our clinical counselors I told you guys about. That'll be right over there. It'll be really, really neat, and we can expand a little bit. We've worked without offices at this church for 5 years, and I used to thought I'd never be the pastor that had the office, and now I would die for an office. So we're going to get an office pretty soon. A big goal is to develop more servants. That is not a derogatory term. Jesus Christ was a servant. And if you're interested in one day leading, lead in the most humble way possible. Make someone a pot of coffee. Clean up. Get involved in maintenance around here. So we need more servants. Hospitality, 5,000. Maintenance. Has anyone ever done the 5,000 thing in here? Is there anyone in here who's ever done 5,000? A couple of you in the back. If you want to really be humbled and get a grip on how good we have it, meet up with Amber, go out there one Sunday morning, do a month of 5,000 and feed people in, you know, 15 degree weather that have to sleep out in the elements. It's very humbling. It very much let you focus back on how good we have it. Developing more servants, developing more leaders. Get involved with the process, step up to the plate, and lead. We need more college leaders, life group leaders, children's leaders. Again, we are going to create a prayer culture at this church. We pray, but we haven't had the space and the opportunity and the organization yet to really create a prayer culture. And we have a couple of people that are going to lead prayer teams. They're going to be very intentional about getting together for prayer, and we're going to make that a big part of our culture here at this church. Those are some goals we have. A couple more goals. We're going to reach our neighborhoods more. We already do a great job with that. We just want to do it more. We're doing a VBS this year, which we've never done before, and I'm sure our VBS will be freak weird, but it's cool. We do weird things here. We're out of the box, but there are a ton of kids in these houses and in these apartments right here. They could walk across the street and be here. We're going to do a huge VBS. It's going to be a big deal. A big thing that I'm really, really excited about is we're going to be launching Experience University. This is primarily Josh who is getting all this together, and he's really, really good at this. We're going to offer financial peace, most of you are familiar with. We're going to offer parenting classes, basics of Christianity's classes, the apologetics class that Jason started, and I just heard so much good stuff about. We're going to launch those. You can sign up for those, and we'll do those in semesters. So like a fall semester, a spring semester, and we repeat the same classes so you can take those things. Now look, I'm just going to throw out to you something that I think God is doing to me, and I just haven't had the space hasn't opened up yet, and I don't know if I'll tell the other two services this or not. I am always looking for a building on the square, and what I'd like to do with a building on the square is to get a building on the square and do Experience University for free for our entire community on the square. So look, if we can get a building right next to Social, big bar right there on Church Street, if we can get a building right there next to Social, put a TV in the window that has all these classes, parenting classes for free, and you have thousands of people throughout the weeks walking into bars, you may have a single mother that's walking into a bar that's going to wash away her pain and her sorrow and her loneliness with alcohol. She may see that, enroll in a parenting class. And if she goes through the parenting class, we can give her a 50% discount on financial peace. And maybe we can groom and disciple a young single mother, introduce her to Jesus Christ, and change her life. Amen. That's something that I want to do. And that's, I don't know if that stuff excites you. Jesus wants to be a part of every single part of our lives. Your finances, your parenting, your marriage. And if we can offer classes that are Christ-centered, that help people be better parents, stewards, financial, whatever, you change people's worlds. Anyways, we also have a thing that we're implementing called CCB, Community Church Builder. It's a software. You guys will not have to deal with this too much, but it helps communicate better with all the ministries at the church. Something else that this program will do is if you guys have kids, I don't have my keys on me, but if you have kids over there, you guys got the little key things now, like beep, and it prints out a receipt, and you know, receipt for your kids, right? Beep, prints out this thing, you stick it on your kids. We're doing things like that so we can be safer. so we can communicate more and be safer. Someone recently, it was a couple months ago, said, is that a good way to use our finances? And I said, if it will keep my two little girls safer, there's no dollar amount we can really put on that. We want to keep our kids safer. We want to communicate better. This will be a way you can get onto our website, log on, see every single thing we offer. And if it's a small group that has a book, you can click on the book, pay for the book, get it mailed to your house and show up. Things like the computer over here when we get CCB completely going. Things like if a family is in need, you can walk over to that computer, punch up the event or the individual that has a need, swipe a card and give them $500 right there, and it goes to them, it goes directly to their house. It's just creating communication. It's creating ways to make ministry easier. Anyways, that's CCB, and Patrick Black's been working with that a lot. Now, last little part, and I'll be done. The challenge of this year is this. I'm going to go over some challenges. The first one is, I challenge you to be present. That sounds like a no-brainer to me. I've been a Christian since 2002, and I love the church. I love being at the church. I love being with you guys. My challenge this year, for the sake of your marriage and for your kids, come to church. Come to church. If you mess up and you do something crazy, if you look at pornography or if you cheat someone or if you steal or something, even if you've done something horrible, people tend to run from church. Come to church. We will not judge you. We will embrace you. We will walk with you. Make it a priority for the sake of your family, spouse, and community to just be here. Hear the word of God. Be committed to your church. Not just that. Join a life group. It will flip your world upside down to be connected with a smaller group of believers that walk with you through life. Get involved in some kind of life group. This prayer and fasting guide, if you have not bought one of these, it's a buck. You get a bracelet and this. If you have never fasted, we could not have made it easier for you. Is this convenient? No, fasting is not meant to be convenient. I love that when people say, Corey, that's not convenient. The cross wasn't convenient. Jesus not eating anything for 40 days was not convenient. We're not going to those lengths. Josh has broke it down in here, why we fast, the benefits of fasting. He goes day by day. Day one, Monday, he gives you scripture to read. It's only two chapters. And the fasting is no secular media, no meats, and no sweets. You can still live without meats and sweets. That's why tonight, when I get out of the 6 p.m. service and go home, it's going to be a bunch of meat and a bunch of chocolate. Maybe at the same time. I don't know. So don't they make like bacon dipped in chocolate? And then tomorrow you have headaches. But he gives you prayer focused. He gives you things to think about, scripture meditation. Please, please, please. If you don't have a dollar, just take one. Take this and do it. Let me talk about the fast just for a second. Every great, huge thing that has happened at this church for the last 5 years was during this 40 days. We got this building during the 40-day fast last year. Everything huge that happens, and not just for things for your church, you spiritually will be a different person if you go through this. And if you mess up and flub up and eat a big thing of sugar tomorrow and you forgot, get back on the schedule and do this to the best of your ability. I promise you, God will rock and roll you if you go through this 40 days. It's a big deal. Please do that. Another big challenge for you is to give and to do it with joy. Give of your time. Now look, let me tell you this. We talked at our leadership retreat about doing a Christmas Eve service at this church next year. We're not going to. I'm going to tell you why. I would rather you be with your family on Christmas Eve than be at church. If you decide to go to a church on Christmas Eve, that's great. World Outreach does an awesome service. Go there. He's a good man. He'll teach a good lesson. And if you're pro Christmas Eve service, we can still be friends. But above church, you need to be dedicated to your family. Me, you know why we're not going to have a Christmas Eve service? I'll just go ahead and tell you. I have two little girls, and I want to be with them on Christmas Eve. And they're more important than you. And your family should be more important than me. And your family should be more important than this. So give to your family. Commit to your family. If you're doing that, commit to your church. I think those two go together. And also be committed to your city. Commit and give with your energy. Get involved in community service. Get involved with cleaning the church or setting things up or tearing things down or just greeting, just giving people the little note sheet that you got saying, welcome to the church, can I get you a cup of coffee? Get involved, even if it's just once a month. Get involved and give your energy. And then the thing, of course, I have a hard time talking about, give your money. It is our obligation. And without tithing, we cannot continue to do the work we've done. If you love your city, if you love the gospel, we advance that, and it costs money. It costs money to keep the lights on. It costs money to feed 100 people a week in the park every single week, 52 weeks a year. It takes a lot of money to do that, about $600 a month, actually. So it costs us about $8,000 just to feed people in the park every year like we do. So please, pray, consider giving financially to the church. The biggest thing is, just get involved in this process. Our vision statement is right there. We all know it. We say it. We repeat it. We reiterate it all the time. Get into this process. Work through the vision of this church and watch God grow your relationship with Him and your relationship with your family, your relationship with other people. Commit to God and His church. And when the time comes, serve. And if the time comes, step up and lead. Now, the last thing is this. This year, if you've been coming to this church for any length of time, there's some of you that were coming to this church when we were 30, 40 people, and it has changed dramatically. The thing about this church, and God is not going to stop growing this church. I think God intends to grow all churches, but we have to be submissive to that. We must see the big picture. This church is all about advancing the kingdom of God. We are here to introduce Christ. You are not here to get to know me. You are here to get to know Jesus. You're not here to get to know staff. You're here to get to know Christ better. And I'll tell you this, I cannot promise that I can always be there for you. I cannot promise that we're going to have lunch. I cannot promise that we're going to get coffee. I cannot promise that I can eat dinner with you. But I can promise you that our church will always be there for you. Can I be the one to do your wedding? Maybe not. I may already be scheduled. Can I be the one to see you in the hospital? Maybe not. I may be booked or I may be out of town. But someone from this church will be there for you, I promise. Our catch this year is we must see the bigger picture. It is not about having coffee with your pastor. It is about getting to know Christ better. It is not about us getting accolades. It is about being selfless and advancing the kingdom of God. It has to be. We must look past ourselves. We must be more intentional about our involvement. We must grow by getting smaller, and we must make Christ the focus, not us. The whole theme of this year is simply this: discipleship and maturity, which means we must get smaller and Christ must get bigger. When the time comes, we will find another building eventually. We will start doing other things in another building, and we're not going to telecast this guy. We're going to find a leader that'll probably be Josh. He doesn't know this yet, but we'll probably take Josh, and he'll start teaching in another building because we're not about me. We're not about you. We're all about Jesus, and we're all about advancing the kingdom. We are here to make Christ famous, not the Experience Community Church. That's what we're here to do. Thank you. I appreciate that. And there has been people leave this church because we've gotten bigger. And my answer to that is, who do you want me to turn away at the door? Do you want to be the one that stands at the door and says, we're full? Do you want to be the one to tell people that they can't hear the gospel today? We don't even advertise this church, guys. Most people don't even know where we are. And God is doing something supernatural and crazy here. And who are we to put a cap on that? I don't want to be the guy to do that. We must look past ourselves, and we must look at the greater good of expanding the kingdom of God. So, hey, look, I'm going to pray for you. Guys, I love you guys. I always feel like I get too sarcastic or mean sometimes. And if it's your first time here, you will never be around a more real, cool group of people in your entire life. You will never do it. It's the most authentic group of Christ followers I've ever seen. We're broken. We're messed up. It's messy at this church. There's a lot of messiness. But we're okay with messiness as long as we know what the solution is. We're okay with messy. But I'm glad you're here, and I hope you dive in this year. It's going to be a good year. I'm going to pray. We have communion on the right and left. Everyone is welcome to take this. It represents the body and blood of Jesus Christ that died for us. I'd like you to pray about your involvement this year. I'd like you to pray about your what you're going to do with your family this year, how your family could get involved here and in the city, and just take some time to reflect. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, I love you, God. God, thank you for what you're doing at this church. Thank you for what you're doing in just your kingdom in general. God, if we can be a contributor to the greater good of advancing Jesus Christ, that's what we want to do, God. I love you. And God, you've done so much here in the last year. I pray, Lord, that 2014 is double that. I pray that you do more. I pray that we can mature and disciple and lead and affect our community and our city. I pray, God, that everyone in this room, that you put a pressure on them, God, to take it up a notch this year with their spouse, with their family, with their church. God, I love you, Lord. Thank you for your son that died on the cross. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that was poured out for us, God. Lord, lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father, and bless 2014. Let this be a year that is just under the banner of you, God. A year that we can hold up and say, this is a year we gave to Christ, and he's honored us. Lord, we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys are welcome to help yourself to communion if you'd like.